Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 12. Generosity. Topic D. Appropriate seeds for the practice of generosity. And finally, still on the theme of generosity and bearing in mind the considerations about the need for sobriety from above and heavenly discernment on the receiving and the practice of generosity, we would like to extend ourselves a little further to meditate on the very generosity or the practice of this virtue. Thus, an initial aspect to be remembered and highlighted once again to practice generosity is that God Himself enriches people who trust in the heavenly grace or generosity to also practice generosity, according to the text that follows below. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, or generosity, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. More broadly, we can verify that the context of the words recorded above by Paul has its more specific starting point at the beginning of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, making the same subject run until the end of chapter 9. This entire text in reference is really rich in terms of the points we are approaching in this chapter, but we will let the reading of the complete text up to the reader, starting to use some of its parts below. The subject appointed above is opened by Paul by a reference related to the aid that a group of people did to other people in another city. The fellow believers of faith in Christ from a specific region made a provision to help brothers and sisters of faith with material needs in another town or place. Paul also calls this help an opportunity of God's grace granted to those who were willing to help their fellow believers in Christ in another region in need of basic material resources for their lives, as described in part below. 2 Corinthians 8:1-4. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality, or generosity. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Thus, being able to help other fellow believers is a grace of God given to Christians, which also reminds us that it is more blessed to give than to receive, for if someone has something to give, it is because one has already received it before from the Lord. Furthermore, there is much to learn from each of the parts of the entire text of 2 Corinthians in reference. For example, the Christians of Macedonia were not rich in possessions and yet they helped others, showing us that generosity is not a privilege of the rich or those who are affluent with material resources. There are people with very few resources who are much more generous than many who give only from the large surplus of their wealth. The generosity described at the beginning of the text of 2 Corinthians 8 was directed towards giving help or assistance to fellow believers of faith in Christ who were more in need than those who helped them. However, the group that helped others also had asset restrictions. Another central aspect to be highlighted in the referenced text is that the practice of generosity is not limited to cash donations and is often not even linked to the financial aspects, as many people who preach about generosity nowadays perversely want to imply. Assistance can often be given to other Christians by sending them provisions of what they most need, for it may even happen that the provisions they need are not even available for purchase in the region where they live. And yet another consideration refers to the fact that the abundance of generosity is not only linked to material things, as also Paul records in the same referenced text and which we exemplify below. 2 Corinthians 8, 7-9. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. In speaking about the generous Christians he mentions in his letter, Paul highlights the abundance or riches they manifested in faith, word, knowledge, all care, and love towards him and other fellow believers. All these abundant manifestations of spiritual gifts are also manifestations of the generosity of what they allowed God to work in them. Paul does not place the manifestation of material help as the only form of generosity, but one of them. Paul rejoiced that those fellow believers were generous to others in everything they received from God, such as faithfulness to their very faith received from heaven, which encouraged others also to be strengthened in the same faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself shared God's greatest riches with people not when he gave them material goods, but when he gave himself in love and as the provision for the forgiveness of the sins of human beings, doing so when he was devoid of material goods and when he became poor on the cross of Calvary on which he was crucified. Christ provided us with the riches of eternal salvation in him when he came into the world in the flesh and was a servant among the people to the point of being killed on the cross of Calvary without natural goods and riches. In his greatest state of material poverty, the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated God's greatest act of generosity towards human beings. And it was also where God himself, in Christ, gave himself in generosity for the lives of all people. In Christ, all areas that a Christian allows God's abundance to manifest itself for generosity are seen by the Lord with great joy. Thus, a Christian may grow in generosity in several areas as the Lord grants this Christian more of his grace. Following this, the text of 2 Corinthians 8 and part of 9 continues to describe several details about the conduct that people should observe even in their purpose of assisting fellow believers of faith in need. Nevertheless, from chapter 9, verse 6, Paul, more specifically, uses the example of assisting the saints to expand the explanation of the theme on generosity in general and in all areas. Let us observe, then, these verses and review some that have already been cited earlier. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-11. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, or generosity, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Thus, in the very rich words just cited, we can observe several aspects already mentioned in this chapter, such as 1. Generosity begins with God. 2. The supply for generosity comes from God. It is the Lord who gives the seed to sow. And it is also the Lord who provides bread for the sower's food. 3. The Lord is perfectly able to supply Christians with an abundant sufficiency for every good work. It is God who enriches people to all generosity. 4. The practice of generosity has as its main objective that God and His wisdom come to be known to the people to whom the generosity was directed. 5. The grace of being able to practice generosity aims at exalting God as the giving and merciful Lord who offers His goodness to all people. And here again, It is possible to observe in the last verses that the central focus of the generous sowing is not the material goods sown. That is, the kingdom of God is within the Christian, and it is the seed that comes out of the heart that brings heavenly blessings to people. The text in reference declares that God will increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, if something is multiplied or if something is reaped according to the kind of its seed, this is because something similar to what was harvested was sown. Thus, if righteousness is to be multiplied and the fruit of your righteousness is to be reaped or increased, it is because righteousness was sown. Therefore, in the eyes of the Lord, what is given in the material is not the sowing of the kingdom of God in itself, even though the kingdom of God uses what is given in the material to express and confirm the sowing according to the heavenly kingdom. However, the attitude of generosity and the purpose with which generosity is practiced are the seeds to be multiplied by the Lord. In the present theme, we have already seen several times the text of Proverbs that declares that the generous soul will prosper, and not necessarily the material things that were given by a person. Material things have a due use and contribution, but even so, they remain in the material sphere. Nevertheless, a Christian manifests the working of the heavenly kingdom from the presence of this kingdom in one's heart. And it is primarily the multiplication of what has been accomplished in conformity with the kingdom of God that a Christian should aim to have multiplied. If a person's donation of material goods is not made from the kingdom of God in one's heart, this donation is not sowing according to the heavenly kingdom. A point covered more extensively in the theme The Gospel of the Kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 13, 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Given this, we can see that in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, Paul writes that whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully, but in verse 9, he also explains what kind of seed is sown and what type of result is harvested. Paul declares that the sowing of God's righteousness results in the harvest of the multiplication of resources for sowing and the increase of the fruits of righteousness. And Paul does not necessarily refer at first to the increase of material things sown or given. The one who sows the righteousness of God reaps the increase of seeds of righteousness, or even the planting area, sowing area, and the multiplication of the fruits of the righteousness of God that one sows by one's actions of generosity. If the seeds were the very objects, material wealth, and money given, God would be obliged to multiply the material seeds even of those who would be making donations to increase their personal domains under greed and perverse intentions. If God had promised to multiply material seeds to everyone who sows much, he would have been obliged to multiply the fruits of unrighteousness. God would be obliged to multiply the seeds of the covetous persons. Therefore, the seed that is being considered by Paul in the text of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 in no way expresses or again refers to money or any other material thing. The seed for sowing according to the heavenly kingdom accepted by the Lord is the practice of sowing the seed that originates in the heavenly kingdom and that, in several situations, may also lead to some material sowing. Galatians 6, 7-8. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. As for the main seeds that are sown, the Lord views them according to the source of motivation and the attitude with which one sows spiritual and material seeds, not the material seeds themselves. Thus, if someone has given material resources because God first moved one's heart with compassion, it is first the compassion that was sown that will be multiplied. If someone gave out of mercy, it is the mercy that will be multiplied to this individual, to the point of increasing the seeds of mercy or compassion and even increasing the sowing, planting area, to reach, exercise, or sow even more mercy. the increase of the seeds of righteousness and the sowing, planting area, to sow righteousness is for God's righteousness to be sown even more in generosity, compassion, and mercy. If, on the other hand, a person sows help toward other people to multiply one's own material seeds and to feed one's avarice or greed, thinking that God multiplies the material seed sown, this person has sown according to the flesh, and according to the flesh one will reap. This individual may even materially enrich, but whose wealth is accompanied by fascinations, thorns, and crazy lusts. Moved by the flesh, a person may even sow a word of the scriptures of God in the lives of others that even contributes to their coming to know God, but even so, the one who sowed it with fleshly intent will have nothing more than a fleshly harvest for oneself. Considering that the kingdom of God does not come with a visible appearance or observation, the seeds of the kingdom and its harvests also do not come with a visible appearance, although they may have a great influence on people's lives and result in external changes arising from inner changes and inner prosperity of the soul and spirit of those who believe in the Lord. Nevertheless, given that the seed and the sowing, plantation area, operate so that the fruit of righteousness is multiplied, and not necessarily the fruit of material things, for each seed generates according to its kind, this point may also bring forth again a question about the harvest of the provision and natural supply for the sower. And as to the natural or material provision or supply for the sower, we can notice in the same text in reference that God grants seeds to sow, but God also gives bread to the sower. A point that brings us back to what we have already seen throughout the present theme regarding the verses of the scriptures in which the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness or to work for the food that does not perish, granting us God's promise that he will also give natural supplies to those who trust in him as to the instructions on how to handle natural riches. In the text of 2 Corinthians 9, the seeds of the practice of God's will that each individual is called to carry out are the seeds of heavenly righteousness to be sown and multiplied, and the bread that God also gives to his loved ones is their natural or material supply. Here, then, it is crucial to highlight that the seeds and the sower's supply are very distinct aspects and with very different measures. God may greatly multiply the seed and the sowing area for the sowing of righteousness, and yet multiply the personal supply of the sowers in a different measure if this is more suitable for their lives and to the accomplishment of the work to which they are called. The Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh into the world and sowed the righteousness of God first in many cities, towns, and villages without ever becoming materially rich, finally sowing the powerful seeds of the righteousness of God upon all humankind when he was crucified on the cross of the Calvary and at the time of his poorest material condition on earth. Isaiah 53, 5-12. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul, and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. John the Baptist, Paul, and many others also did not accumulate great material riches but were sowers of countless seeds of God's righteousness by complying with the Lord's will to which they were called. They, like many others, though they had enough natural provision for what they were called by the Lord but not in high measures, sowed the seeds of God's will and riches towards human beings abundantly. Thus, a person sows righteousness when one does what the Lord has called one to do and according to the instructions God gives him or her. And if one sows what God gives to sow, God is mighty to increase the seeds and the planting area of the seeds of his righteousness, as well as providing everything necessary in the aspects of material supply for the sower who cooperates with God. When, for instance, a father or a mother teaches their children in the way they should go, which is fellowship with Christ Jesus, when a person carries out the profession that God has entrusted to him or her according to the righteousness of the Lord and for the benefit of people, when a person shares the testimony about Jesus Christ that one sanctified as the Lord in one's heart. Or when a person prays for people all over the world and for rulers or people in eminence to rule for the benefit of their people, they are sowing the righteousness of God, having the promise of God that they will also receive from the Lord the way of material supply as long as they remain firmly in the heavenly will. As we have already mentioned several times in this theme, material provision is not the primary objective of the Christian, but a consequence of God's promise and generosity to those who have the Lord, His kingdom, and His righteousness as the treasure of their trust and their hearts. A person may have an abundance of resources and even share a significant part of one's assets with others, but if one does not sow help to others by the direction of the Spirit of the Lord and does not heed the voice of God to live and walk according to the will of the heavenly kingdom and the righteousness of the Lord, one keeps oneself apart from sowing in righteousness and in the Spirit of the Lord. And consequently, one does not place oneself in a position to reap the multiplication of the fruits of these aspects of the heavenly riches. In the case of the specific example of the text of chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, we can observe that Paul mentions that the sincere love and compassion of assisting fellow believers of faith in Christ were the aspects counted as seeds. And the material assistance, in this specific case, was the means by which the sowing of love and mercy could be carried out. In this way, there are many and varied situations for which God calls people to exercise love and mercy towards others, such as praying for them, offering a word of comfort, supporting them in different ways in some tasks, and helping people in need of mercy who do not even have material needs, as is the example of Paul when he was called by God to go to Macedonia because there was a man who cried out to the Lord for help. And this man was the keeper who looked after the prison in which Paul and Silas were imprisoned and who came to receive Christ Jesus as his Lord, according to Acts 16, 9-40. On the other hand, again, one may ask what about the material supply when it is needed to execute compassion and mercy? And again, when also an abundant material provision is needed to exercise in this way the sowing of God's righteousness, the Lord is mighty to provide all that is needed, both in abundance of heavenly gifts and in abundance of natural riches that are necessary, as also exposed in the same text of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 and 11. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, or generosity, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. In view of this, we have already seen that generosity is a condition of the heart that may also be expressed using the giving or sharing of material goods, but this is not always the case or is not always necessary, depending on what is being shared through generosity. So, when there are material needs to be shared and when there is genuine motivation before the Lord to do so according to the righteousness of the Lord, God can show himself mighty also to grant all that is necessary to materialize the motivation according to the need of the one to whom the generosity is intended. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Humanity subject to sin needed righteousness and salvation coming from the heavenly kingdom, not merely material riches. Therefore, Christ came into the world to reveal and offer eternal salvation through God's grace, goodness, or generosity. Christ humbled himself and became poor to generously give his life on the cross of Calvary in favor of all people. As can be seen in Philippians 2, 5-11 and 2 Corinthians 8, 9. The act of generosity was first in the heart of Christ and was materialized with the surrendering of his body and blood under the greatest shame to which the Lord could come to be exposed. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised to shame on the cross before all men because there was in his heart the generosity to give his life to provide the way of salvation and eternal life for all human beings, the newness of life that is granted to all who believe in him and receive him as Lord in their hearts. Hebrews 12, 2-3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, or ignominy, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Ignominy is being publicly exposed to shame. Yes, in his position as the Son of Man, Christ was despised even because he stopped giving people material bread. He was also despised because he did not accept being the earthly king of the people who had been waiting for his coming into the world for centuries. Instead, the Lord Jesus sowed the righteousness of God. He sowed the superior righteousness that paid the required price to free people from eternal condemnation because of their sins and the yoke of the law of Moses. And because of this offer of the seeds of righteousness, he was rejected and exposed to ignominy. Nevertheless, after the resurrection, God increased the sowing area of the Lord Jesus Christ beyond the Jews of Jerusalem and extended it to all Jews, but also, simultaneously, to all Gentiles to the ends of the earth. Romans 1, 16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ allowed the Heavenly Father to sow him and he sowed himself as the seed of God's bountiful righteousness. And as a result, Christ saw the sowing increase and the fruits of his righteousness multiplied in millions and millions of hearts that received him and continue to receive him as Lord and Savior of their lives. Revelation 7, 9-12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might, be to our God forever and ever. Amen. In the condition of the Son of Man, Christ was the grain of wheat that fell to the ground and died to bear much fruit. And the more the Lord Jesus sowed the goodness and righteousness of God, the more God increased his sowing and multiplied and continues to multiply the fruits of his righteousness. Isaiah 9, 7 Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thus, symbolically, or more generally, we could perhaps say that 1. The seed is God's righteousness, love, compassion, mercy, long-suffering, kindness, and so on. 2. Generosity is the means of manifesting or sowing these seeds. 3. The material accompaniments to exercise generosity are packages, means, or helping tools to deliver or sow the seeds. Making, then, a comparison of what was exposed in the last paragraph with what was presented by Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we would have something similar to 1. The seed of God's righteousness in that context was the love for God and the love for the fellow believers from another city or region who had difficulties with basic material needs. 2. Generosity was manifested by the testimony of faith in God and a life of fidelity to the Lord in situations similar to the fellow believers from another region, also added by the desire or compassion to assist them. 3. The goods given were the helping instrument to sow love, encouragement, and assistance to those needy brothers and sisters. And although the text of 2 Corinthians does not mention this, we understand that God could have directly provided the supply of the fellow believers in need of assistance, but, perhaps, the need to see that other Christians cared about them was more necessary in that specific situation so that God's love for their lives was even more broadly manifested. Given this, we can note, from another perspective, that spiritual riches are always incomparably superior to material ones, but also that their evidence through material actions often contributes to people recognizing them more firmly in their hearts. In other words, and as already mentioned above, generosity can be expressed in various ways or means, such as a prayer for those who need it, even if they do not know they need it, loving attention, help with material supplies, assistance in helping with a task, teaching, sharing a word of God, and also material help or even money, when this is the case. However, even so, what is aimed to be sown are the characteristics of the kingdom of God so that people raise their eyes of understanding and faith towards the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4, 1. Let a man so consider us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. 2 Corinthians 9, 8-15. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, or generosity, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Romans 12, 4-6. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Although generosity is often expressed in material acts, God declares that the seed sown to be multiplied and whose fruits last forever are not grounded and focused on earthly aspects but on the righteousness that lasts forever. Thus, the one who is generous in sharing the heavenly seeds, sometimes doing so also through the giving of material goods, is promised even more of the heavenly aspects, accompanied by an appropriate material provision which does not necessarily need to grow in the same proportion of the growth of the heavenly seeds and the sowing area to sow them. Luke 6:36. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew 5, 10-12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Additionally, in the text of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9, we also see the expression dispersed abroad to the needy, showing us that God gives what is really necessary to the needy, confirming his actions in line with his eternal righteousness. From another point of view, we can see that in the world, there are people who are holders of abundant material possessions, but who, at the same time, are extremely poor in the righteousness of the Lord, not needing, therefore, an increase in earthly resources, but eternal salvation reaching their souls. In this way, when people begin to come to Christ Jesus only for earthly bread or material provisions, they should again remember the following words of the Lord. John 6, 26-29. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do, that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Yet from another angle, we may also remember that if nothing in the world can acquire heavenly salvation, all people before the gospel of God are poor, miserable, and in need of God's righteousness and grace. And always the aspects of the heavenly kingdom will be the main seeds to be announced and given in generosity to those who accept to receive them, although sometimes the instrument to present them is through material gestures and actions. Moreover, sowing the seeds of the kingdom of God may often even face severe opposition, for they are primarily spiritual actions and go beyond the apparent and material sowing that the world practices. However, they are actions whose harvests result in eternal fruits. Thus, sowing the righteousness of God by faith in a world broadly seeded with many seeds of unrighteousness may often appear to be an action with no hope of reaping. However, the scriptures declare that darkness does not prevail against light nor unrighteousness against God's righteousness. Psalms 126, 5-6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Matthew 5, 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Psalms 106, 3. Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Plus. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Plus. Luke 18, 7-8. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Therefore, may the Lord, also in this present generation, grant us to sow according to his righteousness to see abundant fruits of heavenly righteousness in our hearts and on the people on earth who so much need it, for the more Christians sow in righteousness and the Spirit of the Lord, and the less they sow in unrighteousness and the flesh, they may see even more the fruits of God's righteousness manifested to them and the world. Finally, still looking at the topic of generosity from some angles of sowing and the sowers, We would like to highlight once again that the Lord grants the soil, the seeds, and gives strength or provision to the sowers, but it is also up to the sowers to be zealous about sowing. That is, Christians should awaken much more to their cooperative participation in what happens in their own generations, as well as what they will let sown for the next ones. The Lord's will is that those who claim to serve Him express generosity and sow the seeds of righteousness to be partakers of the Lord's promise that righteousness and praise will spring up before all nations. Isaiah 61:11. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Proverbs 11:18. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Titus 3:14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Therefore, speaking of Christ, announcing Him by personal testimony, and demonstrating love for Him by serving people in the different facets of the heavenly will according to what each Christian is called by the Lord to accomplish is also the sowing of righteousness. It is a work of sowing not to be done out of law or obligation but out of love for the Heavenly Father. The sowing that is done out of obligation that constrains is not generous sowing. However, the sowing that is done out of love for God, the truth, and fellow people according to heavenly love is an expression of the generosity of a heart that is in the kingdom of God or in whom the kingdom of God is found. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Romans 6:13, b-14. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. We also remember here that the focus of the sowing of God's righteousness is not money itself, nor is it for the multiplication of money or material abundance, but it is done in generosity to water the thirsty and feed the hungry who are thirsty and hungry for the newness of life coming from God, also manifested, when it is the case, by granting material aid. The practice of generosity is giving and spreading the seeds of the heavenly kingdom motivated by love for God and one's fellow men as the Lord directs a Christian to do so, and not for financial desire or the desire to get rich in the world, for the latter, as we have seen in previous chapters, expresses the love of money which stands in opposition to the love of God's righteousness. And in a very practical way, a good start to begin the sowing of God's righteousness, and which can be practiced by poor or rich, without any distinction, is the sowing done, firstly, in prayer before the Eternal Lord. It is before the Lord, in prayer, that, first of all, the sowing and reaping of God's righteousness in favor of other people is carried out. 1 Timothy 2:1-6. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, or eminence, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Matthew 9:37-38. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." Praying to God, first of all, on behalf of all people so that they may know the true righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus and that they may know that He alone is the mediator between God and human beings, and also pray for the conditions of the civil life of people on earth so that they are not prevented from living a godly life towards the Lord, is indeed also the performance of an act of generosity of inestimable value in favor of all people. And then, together with prayer, a Christian can so love by doing all things in one's life as for the Lord, thus being the salt of the earth and the light of the world to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, and the Heavenly Father. Yet regarding the more specific actions of proclaiming the gospel of God, since the Christian serves the Lord and not riches, one can also extend one's generosity by speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel to others or even cooperating so that the gospel of Christ is generously announced to those who have not yet heard of Him, even supporting others to do so as we saw in the text of 3 John, verses 4-8. After praying for the manifestation of God's righteousness on behalf of people on earth, the generous spread of the gospel of Christ is the greatest gift from God that a Christian can announce to humankind, for the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all people of all peoples on earth, for also in it is found the revelation of God's saving righteousness. We understand that it is worth highlighting here that cooperating with the proclamation of the gospel of Christ is not a Christian hiring a spiritual leader for oneself to guide one's life and supposedly teach him or her the word, even paying for this service through offerings and tithes. This does not refer to generosity but to hiring a service to be served and refers to the practice of a conduct that can never perfect the person's relationship with Christ, for this relationship, feeding on the Lord, or abiding in the true vine cannot be outsourced. The search for contracting a service to be served spiritually by others inevitably represents a high risk for a person to become subject again to the search for spiritual coverage and the supposed spiritual mediation with God made by people. And this was the basis of the request of the ancient Hebrew people in the desert and which ended up culminating in the law of Moses, but through which no one can be saved, being instead subject to the curse and unrighteousness that the works of human righteousness produce. One of the characteristics of generosity is the gift offered for the benefit of others. It is a gift given freely to benefit others. It is a gift moved by the love of God. However, under the concept of the old law or similar to it, the pursuit of the practice of works is always focused on the one who performs them, leading people to do something for others always with the intention of benefiting themselves and not as a result and understanding of acting according to the love of God. In this way, no one should feel coerced into being generous because one is constrained by others to do so with the most diverse appeals or even because one oneself needs something. A Christian is called to exercise generosity from one's heart because God gives the joy to do it, guides a Christian in how to do it, and gives his children the strength and seeds to do it. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 9, 7-9. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. In the text of the book of Acts that narrates that Stephen was stoned because of the testimony he gave about Christ and the gospel of God that he announced, we find that Stephen, because he was full of the Holy Spirit, continued to sow benefits to those who threw stones at him even if he would not reap the result personally in his earthly life. Stephen generously sowed the word of forgiveness of sins to those who furiously attacked him. And Saul, also called Paul and later became an apostle of Christ, was among those regarding whom the prayer to the Heavenly Father for forgiveness was sown. Stephen generously sowed the righteousness of God, the gospel of forgiveness that is mighty to save the vilest sinner. And as a reward, generously given to him by God and not by men, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the living and eternal righteousness of God, standing at the right hand of the heavenly Father to receive him eternally into the heavenly glory. Thus, God is generous and a giver, and those who mirror and strengthen themselves in him also end up being generous, for they have the life of God in their hearts. The generosity of a heart begins with receiving the precious gift of God, which is Christ Jesus, which also works in the heart of a Christian so that one also may be very fruitful in generosity. The source of generosity is in the true vine, it is in Christ. And the main thing about generosity, both to receive and exercise it, is for the Christian to be and remain in Christ and have Christ in one's heart. And to the heart that abides in Christ, the Lord himself teaches it so that it may be transformed into a wisely and soberly generous heart. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Ephesians 2:4-10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In conclusion, then, as well as in all the other chapters and topics of the present theme and the other themes of the systemic teaching about Christian life, we highlight once again that it is through Christ, in Christ, and for the glory of Christ that we are enriched in everything by the Lord also for generosity. For it is also through the Lord Jesus Christ that God's generosity towards all people was announced, manifested, and is available to be received by all those who believe in him and receive him in their hearts. Ultimately, the essential seeds of generosity to be received into the heart and announced to others is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only foundation to be laid in the heart, and from whom all instruction and direction for the relationship with the other riches and generosity result. Aspect covered even more broadly by the theme the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Romans 11:33-12, 2. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. John 1:11-18. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. 1 Corinthians 1, 30-31. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Final greetings. Psalms 146, 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Revelation 14, 7. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. The texts narrated in this audio are posted at www.zoominchristianlife.org. Greetings of peace, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ.